Welcome to part two of our series, Red Letter. And as I always like to do in that right at this part of the service, and that's to pause and also welcome those who join us weekly online. We're so glad to have you here, our online campus from all different areas and locations. Come on, everybody, let's welcome them. Yeah. And if you are in the area and you're not just in another state or country, we invite you to come and be with us on a Sunday. If you don't have a church where you attend regularly, we'd love to have you with us. And let me also say to the online campus that as we get into our message today, we have message notes that are available online. You can go to crosspointworshipcenter.com. You can download right there today's message and follow along with us. For those in-house, those message notes are there in your worship guide, and we'd love for you to pull those out so you can follow along, and there's some blanks in there to fill in as we go through today's message. I guess I should pause right here and say happy St. Patrick's Day. A guy who was an incredible guy who actually, I don't know what you've heard about the, what do you call that thing? The clover, the little clover leaf. But it actually, he used that to represent the cross and explain Christianity. So it's not just about the luck of the Irish, that holiday. And by the way, we don't need the luck of the Irish. We've got the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen, everybody. So that's the good news. But, and in fact, I could have used a little bit of luck of the Irish if there were such a thing last night in the ACC championship. We won't talk about that. We'll move on. But I did have a house divided, I must share with you. I'm a Florida State Seminole, as you well know. I bleed garnet and gold, and I've tried to raise my children accordingly. But I've got one wayward son I need you to pray for. He's a Duke fan when it comes to basketball. He's a Florida State fan when it comes to football. He's conflicted, y'all. So I've got this second son that he and I were rooting for Florida State. I love that boy. I'm just letting you know right now. I told him the Esau Jacob story. You know that one, you know, where, you know, the second gets the blessing. But anyhow, just having fun. But good game. Congratulations to the Duke Blue Devils. So let's move on. Let's jump into this series today, and this installment of this series, and want to look at this as we're doing a seven-part series that's going to lead us right up into Easter. I want to accentuate that and just encourage you to be inviting people for Easter, and you don't have to wait till Easter Sunday. I know that's probably the best time to get somebody to come. When they would say no any other time, they'll say yes when you invite them for Easter. But I would say, hey, tell them we're in a series and come along for the ride, right? And jump on and be a part of that and just follow with us. We're going to conclude that. Really, we're going to have on Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter, we're going to be talking about the Lamb and a special installment of this series. And then we're going to on Easter, talk about our risen and coming again King. Amen. He is risen and he is coming again. So it's going to be a great service. We're prepared for that. And as we look at this series, how that when we look at the series of the Red Letter, we're finding some reveals. And that is that when you look at Scripture and you look at, if you have a Bible, a lot of times you'll see in the New Testament that the words that Jesus spoke were written in red. And I heard one person say, "Read the red and pray for the power." And so, in other words, there's power in the words of Jesus. There's power in what he came to do and came to say. He actually is the Word. The Bible says, according to John 1:14, that became flesh. He was the Word, but the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So it was the grace and the mercy and the truth that walked this earth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus went on to say, I've come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So when we look at the words of Jesus, we're going to discover the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, you study the Scripture because they are but they testify of me. So when you look at the Old Testament and you look at the New Testament, everything points to Jesus. And when you look at what he said to us, all it does is point us to life that's found in Jesus. We find our way in life. We find the truth when the world is deceiving us and speaking nothing but lies. And we find life that's found in God. And we also find the love of the Father that was demonstrated through His Son Jesus, who came to demonstrate His love by dying on the cross for us. Amen, everybody? That's just good news. Let me just settle down here and let's get into our notes. If you'll take your notes out and look with me, and we'll have it up here on the screen as well. Let's begin with our theme verse for this series. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that says this, and Paul said, you'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First, Jesus and who He is, then Jesus and what He did, Jesus crucified. And so we're looking at Jesus, and we're looking at the words that He spoke to us, and it reveals some traits and some things about Jesus that we discover of who He is. And last week we talked about the fact that Jesus, because He did not just come to die on the cross for us, but before He ever died on the cross, He actually lived life and He experienced life and He experienced every area of life that you and I will ever experience. He was tempted on every level, yet without sin. He went through that so He could identify when you go through things. He understands. He went through it Himself. So when He's interceding to this Father, He can say, Father, I understand that. I went there. I was there. We need to help them with that. And the Bible says He's constantly in a conversation with His Father, and it's all about you. He's always interceding and pleading your case to the Father. He's on your side, which lets us know something, and that is that Jesus qualifies to be your best friend. Amen? So we talked about that last week. If you missed that, you can go online and listen to that message again and get the notes there and get that one as well, because that's so important. And so, but I want to reveal a second trait that we find through the words of Jesus, and that is that Jesus is our teacher. He's our teacher. In fact, He is the master teacher. He's the greatest teacher that the world has ever known. And people have followed Him from remote places, and they've sat and they listened to Him while He was on this earth for hours on end, because He spoke truth, and He spoke truth with authority. People would say of Him, He doesn't speak like a normal person, a regular person, like one of the scribes and Pharisees. He speaks with authority, and He speaks with power. There was something powerful about the words of Jesus. And Jesus came saying, I am truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And not only did He say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, but He showed us the way and truth and life. And He showed us by His example. Jesus, the word teacher, describing Him as a teacher in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's the word teacher is mentioned 48 times. And when you think about a teacher, what makes a great teacher? A teacher is one that's authentic. A teacher is one that believes in what he says. And one of the greatest things about a good teacher is a teacher will teach by example. And that's the big idea today. And that is that Jesus, as our teacher, He is our example to follow and how to live our life. John 13 and verse 15 says, Jesus said this, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. So He says, I've set you an example that He's demonstrated to us. He says, I'm showing you what to do. And He demonstrated that in how He even came to this earth. He came with great humility. The one who created all of this, yet He stepped into all this in a very humble fashion. He also demonstrated through His obedience, and He showed us what that looks like. And He says, I'm going to show you what, again, I'm showing you what humility looks like. In fact, in one powerful moment, we see Jesus where He knelt down, and He's about to be crucified, but yet He knelt down and He washed the feet of His disciples. Could you imagine? He knew what Judas was doing. And yet, there He is elevating the feet of Judas. He's elevating the feet of Peter, who would deny Him. He's washing their feet. He knew, yet he humbled Himself. He knew what was just about to happen in just a few hours. And I just want to say, there's going to be some times where you or I are going to face some difficult times and some uncertain situations. And Jesus knew that. And he says, I want you to look to me as an example of how to live your life and remember my example. He came to demonstrate life. He came to teach us how to live. And he led by example. And so so we see that. And the goal of this is that you'll come to know that this Jesus, that there's a great example that he left us, and understand that he has our best interest in mind as he's laying out that example for us. And I know it's very frustrating when we don't have a good example. Some of us haven't had the best examples to follow. We haven't had a mentor. Maybe we haven't had a good father or a mother that would set that example for us. But Jesus, look, he shows us who the Father is. He says, when you see me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus showed us the goodness of the Father. The goodness of the Father, that the Father that so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? That whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He is a good Father. He gives us a good example. But when there's no example to follow, there's some tendencies when we don't know what to do. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. And sometimes we think we know what to do. We think we know how to respond to situations in our life. But a lot of times they're very earthly based. And then we're shocked because we try our way and it backfires. It doesn't work. I've had many times where I've stepped into stuff. And then, boom, I get this reaction I wasn't expecting. And I'm looking at my wife and I said, what happened? And she says, well, you stepped in it, you know. And you spoke, and I said, I don't realize that, you know, I think everybody sees my heart, and sometimes my words, you know, aren't clear, and you step in, and I thought I was doing the right thing by doing this or that, but we make mistakes, and because oftentimes they're humanly based, we're following other examples of how the world reacts or lives, and it doesn't work out. And so, and the Bible says the end of our way is death. In other words, it just doesn't work. So I want to show you what when we don't know what to do, what our tendencies sometimes are. Number one, write this down. And that is we try to fix it ourselves. Well, I'm a pretty smart guy. I can fix this. Remember when my wife and I first got married, you know how it is. There's adjustments to be made from singlehood to married life. And so as we're adjusting and learning what it means to be married, I've got this thing called my mouth. I know how to use it. I know how to talk through anything. I came from a family that we talked about everything. We laid everything out. And so I knew how to solve this. We just talked through this. Only problem is, I know y'all find this a real shocker, as we talked, I was the only one talking, you know, and I thought, well, I'll engage a conversation. And she would just kind of be quiet on me. She wasn't used to that. I found out that my way didn't work. I tried to fix it. I found out the more I talked, the worse it got, right? And then I got wise and I learned the right words. Yes, dear. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm wrong. Or the phrase that you've heard me say before that's very important for all men to learn this. I'm going to help you out here. And when they're talking to you about something, you say, and then what happened? That's what you do. That's what you do. But we try to fix it ourselves. And oftentimes, though, it gets worse. It leads to addictions. It leads to habits. For people who don't have an example, I was talking to someone the other day, and I'm trying to remember the statistic. Honestly, I'm not sure if I have the exact statistic, but I think it was around 90% of inmates in prison. When you research it, you find that about, I think it was around 90% came from homes with no father. Wow. So if we solve that issue, we might empty out some prisons. In other words, there was no example to follow. There was no example. And I heard of someone that actually had a ministry, went into a correctional facility, and And again, as they were talking to people, they found out that they never had an example, and they just kept doing their own things, spinning their own wheels. They tried to fix it themselves, and the more they tried to fix things and do through life themselves by their own resources, it didn't work. Another thing we do is we look to others. Write that one down. We look to others. You know, you got people that will tell you what to do. You got people that say, well, you know, well, Oprah said, and Dr. Phil said, you know, my neighbor said, I knew somebody who went through that, and they said, but we look to others, and we find out oftentimes that doesn't work because that oftentimes isn't the right example. Then a third thing that we do is we learn to live with it. And that's a bad place to be. We give up. We just quit. We say, this is never going to change. I'm never going to be able to fix this. I've looked at others. I've tried everything. I'm going to start decorating the walls. This is the way it's going to be. And that's a very, very sad place to be. And some of you may be in that place where nothing's working. I guess it's just who I am. I made my bed. I've got to lie in it. I can't change my past. I'm stuck. This is where I am. This is the way it will always be. And I've just got to reject that lie and say, oh no, oh no, oh no. God's king. Listen, God comes, Jesus comes to settle your past so he can give you a future. Amen? And the past, he comes to make all things new where the past is remembered against you no more. And he makes you a new person where you're no longer the same person. And so I think what we need to do is just wait a moment and then do this next thing. Number four, and that is we turn to God. And that's usually the last thing on the list. As a last resort, well, I've tried everything else, I'm going to try God. What would our life, though, look like if it was our first response instead of our last resort? Right? And we come to God first. In fact, we would save ourselves a lot of problems of trying to fix it ourselves and looking to everybody else and getting frustrated because, you know, nothing's working. Sitting in despair and depression because we've tried everything to make our life work ourselves. But when we come to God and we just look to Him, the Bible says that we're to look to Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I always like to say, and everything in between. You know, He's the one that's lived life, and by His example, He shows us how to live life. And when we follow Jesus, and not just believe in Jesus, because there's a big misnomer that Christianity is just believing in Jesus. Well, demons believe in Jesus, okay? Historians believe in Jesus. Scholars believe in Jesus. But Christianity is not just about believing, it's about following Jesus. Jesus leads by example, and we follow His example. We follow His example. And so I'm so grateful that in my life I've had some great examples to follow. I grew up in a Christian home. I'm so thankful for that. I was reminded this morning as I was in prayer about those times where, you know, I was just a kid running around in church, you know, just as they say, cutting my teeth on church pews, and just running around and I was just visualizing things. I could visualize the water fountain in the lobby of this church up in Greensboro that I'm fourth generation of, and I would go up to that water fountain. You know how it is. You gotta have a stool that you step up on to get up on that thing. You know, that's a memory embedded in I remember my dad giving me the quarter, you know, to put in the Sunday school plate. I can remember walking with him because it was what we did. It wasn't an option. We went. And back in those days, we went Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you know. And it was just what we did. I got homework, Dad. It doesn't matter. You're going to church, you know, because that's what we do. But it ingrained with me that that's important. It was, can I just tell you something? I know I thought about this yesterday. I don't know if I should say this or not. Going to church on Sunday is getting up and going to church on Sunday is more important than getting up and going to work on Monday. I'm just going to run backstage here now, but you say, well, no, I got a job, I got family to feed, yes, you do, and you got a job. And if you're a father, you got a job, and it's that you got to feed your family. Yeah, and you got to take care of your family spiritually. You got to be the spiritual head. In other words, you got to lead by example. You got to lead by example, right? And that's what Jesus would say. We need an example, and Jesus is our ultimate example, and we need to follow His example. The teacher. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 with me in verse 1. Watch what God does. And then, I love this, do it. Do it. Nike didn't start that, so you see, okay. Do it. Just do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Can I just get you to underline that word learn? Can I encourage us at Crosspoint Church, let's always be an environment, a culture that's very teachable. Never, ever, ever become a know-it-all, okay? Because guess what? You don't know it all. Newsflash. May we always be teachable. Now, I may be a slow learner, but a slow learner at least has half a chance, okay? But a person who is a know-it-all has no chance. A person who is unteachable, who is, well, I know this. I'm smarter than you. You're not going to teach me. I've been there. I know this. Come on. And they do the hand thing. You know, they got the attitude, you know. No. Listen, always, always be teachable and be able to allow God to come into your life and rearrange things and change some things. I mean, we need to be praying on a daily basis. Lord, search my heart and try me. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That needs to be a daily thing. Because I don't know about you, but I need a lot of help. I pray God, let me always be teachable because I'm always needing help. In fact, the biggest problem I have in my whole life is me. Because everywhere I go, there I am. I'm just saying. So some of you are saying, good, I'm glad because you are our biggest. No, I'm just saying. I had a teacher one time that said, she said, take care of yourself and you have a full-time job. I like that. But God, let me always have a teachable heart. Let me always be able to cry. Let me always be able to be moldable, God. Let me not be stiff-necked. Let me hear and be humble as you taught me by example. Lord, let me be able, when it comes down to it, to say, not my will, God, but your will. I think this is the way, God, but you know best, so don't understand it, but I'm going to do it. Do you know that it was our will that got us in trouble in the first place in the first garden, right? And we said, we're going to do it our way. That looks good. That makes sense. And so we did our way, and guess what? We've been in trouble ever since. So Jesus stepped into another garden, not the Garden of Eden, but the Garden of Gethsemane, and He straightened out our first mistake when we said, my will. Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, and He said, not my will, Father. This is, Lord, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done, right? Nevertheless, not my will. I got a way. I'd rather not go to the cross, God. I'd rather not have to do this. My flesh really doesn't want to be whipped and beaten. I don't want to be rejected tonight. I don't want to be spat upon and a crown of thorns put on my head. I don't want to go there, God. I don't want to have to suffer through that. The Bible says He sweat as drops of blood. But yet, He said, but. And this is where He got the victory, right? This is where we get the victory. Not my will, Father, but your will be done. What was He doing? He was leading us by example. But we got to be able to be learners, to be followers. So like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. And by the way, we're not just talking about behavior modification. This isn't just about what you do. Because that was the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they had rules on the wall. Don't. It seemed like there was a lot more don'ts than do's, wasn't it? You know, don't, stop it, don't, stop, don't. And we couldn't even do those. And God said, I'm going to write my law on your heart. Instead of it being on a stone and rules, because that was really written just to frustrate you. In other words, you can't really do those things. You can't do all the do's and don'ts. And that was really written so you'd be so frustrated. I can't, I can't line up. I try every week, go to church, come back, same thing. Why can't I get it right? It was to frustrate you, to show you that you need a Savior. A Savior who did all, who fulfilled your righteousness through Him, right? Our righteousness is from Him. But then when what happens when His Spirit comes inside of us, we're not talking about external behavior modification. We're talking about something happening on the inside of us where everything changes. And He writes our... So in other words, what happens is He changes our want to. He changes our nature. He puts His nature within us. And things start changing on the inside. Come on, we used to say it this way. It's Jesus on the... Can I sing it? Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Oh, it's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. It's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Oh, what a change in my life. Okay, you're welcome. Anyway, so did we finish that verse? Go back to that verse. Watch what God does, then do it. Then you do it like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with Him, and that's where the transformation happens, in relationship with Him. Not a religion of rules on a wall, but an internal relational change. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with Him and learn a life of love. One version of that says, be imitators of Christ. And another version, Ephesians 5:1, it says, you are God's children whom He loves, so try to be like Him. So He modeled for us. So let me give you some practical ways. He came to show us, look at this. Number one, write this down, how to overcome temptation. He came to show us how to overcome temptation. And we know the story where Jesus was tempted. In fact, the Bible says He was led into the wilderness to be tempted. He went for that purpose. So He could show us what to do when we go through temptation. Can I give you these scriptures here? Just break this out for you. In Matthew chapter 4, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. The tempter came to Him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written. There's the power, right? Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Come on, read the red, pray for the power, right? Look at verse 5. Look at the next verse. Then the devil took Him to the holy city, and he had Him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, He said, throw yourself down, for it is written. Now he's messing with Jesus, trying to take something out of context. He will command His angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. How dare he take Psalm 91 and misuse it? Look at verse 7. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Look at verse 8. Again, the devil took Him to a very high mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Now I want to notice there's a theme in this that Jesus is showing us by example, and that is the power of the Word of God. The solution to temptation is the Word of God. I heard someone say, sinning will keep you from reading the Bible, and reading the Bible will keep you from sinning. I think that's pretty good, right? So get into the Word of God. And then the Bible says, goes on in verse 11, says, then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. In other words, you follow God's Word, and God, listen, He's going to confirm His Word with signs following, right? We don't follow signs, we follow the Word, and signs follow the Word, right? So God's going to confirm, God's going to strengthen you as you follow the Word. And let me just say this, the Word of God wins every time. You have the blueprint for success in overcoming temptation right there in your hand. Well, it may be in your phone, but you know what I'm saying. Okay, all right, you may have the app. All right. Look at number two. He came to show us how to face impossible situations. There's a story in the book of John where Lazarus died, a very close friend of Jesus. And the Bible says that when he came on the scene that Jesus wept. Now, a lot of people try to understand why he wept. Was he identifying with their grief? But could it be that since we know that we look at it, Jesus went there knowing what he was going to do. He was going to raise him from the dead. Some scholars believe that the reason he wept because of the unbelief of the people. Because they said, if you had been here, you're too late. He's been dead 4 days. Now, this isn't a guy that that just had a heart attack and they're doing CPR trying to resuscitate him. This guy is dead, in the ground, bound up, in the tomb, dead. Stone rolled in front of him. He's stinking now. You know what I'm saying? He's dead. And Jesus comes up on the scene and they said, you're too late. Can I tell you, that looked like a final situation. Death is final, right? And yet Jesus walked up on the scene and said, it's not too late. Do you? And he asked the question, do you believe in me? Oh, well, I believe that you're in the last day. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm about to preach Easter right here. Listen, the resurrection is not just an event. It's a person. His name is Jesus. And so no matter how difficult, and what Jesus was trying to show in this story, no matter how bad the situation, no matter how impossible the situation, listen, if you believe in Jesus Christ, all things are possible. And Jesus, you know the story. He spoke life. He called Lazarus from the dead. And he who was bound came forth. Come on, I don't know if he was bunny hopping or what he was doing because he was bound up. He said, loose him and let him free. Come on, everybody. Jesus is able to do the impossible. But what it required was their faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. So he's given us this thing called faith. Every one of us is given a measure of faith. Again, God's given us everything that we need, and we look to him for our example. We have faith. We have to exercise. Sometimes, again, as I said at the beginning of the service, we put faith in the wrong thing. We're focusing on the problem instead of the problem solver, right? We magnify the problem. Listen, we need to be magnifying our God who's able to do anything. Number three, he came to show us how to submit to God's plan. To God's plan. There's this term we call the flesh. And that's this skin, which means the natural, our own ability, not supernatural, but just natural, our own ability, the flesh. We rely upon our flesh. We have this phrase in church world called we get getting in the flesh. You know what the definition of that is, the Greek definition? It means I'm about to sin big time. That's what that means when we get into sin. Okay, y'all didn't laugh at that one. I thought that was, it was funnier when I was preparing that. But anyway, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 says, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you, here it is, an example that you should follow in his steps. That you should follow in his steps. So Christ suffered. He didn't want to go to the cross, but he was obedient to the Father. He submitted to the Father's will. And so the solution there is obedience. Jesus, again, he said, not my will, but your will be done. When he was about to go to that whipping post and suffer that, and that whipping post, it was the whips in those days, they say it would land into your skin, but it would have pieces in there that would grab hold of your flesh, and when they pulled that, it would rip the skin off of you. Jesus didn't want to go to that, but he took a step in obedience, and every step had a purpose. Come on. Every step had somebody's name. Every step had your name on it. Every step had your future on it. He went to that in obedience to the Father, and he was an example. And why? He wanted us to understand the value of obedience, of submitting to God's plan. So look at this. Number four, he wanted to show us unconditional love. Unconditional love. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us know how to overcome temptation with the Word of God. Thank you for giving us a tangible solution for when we're tempted. When facing an impossible situation, he's given us an out that we can say, I trust you, Lord, and God, we know that you have this. And he's teaching us the importance of submitting our plan by obedience to him. But he says, I also want you to know my unconditional love. Love is a word that we throw around a lot. It's based on what we experience in the world. But we cannot fathom the love on the level that He taught us. It's unconditional love. And it's based on this key word, this love, and that is the word forgiveness. Everybody, can you say that word with me? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Such a powerful word. When you receive this word, it expands your heart. It expands your heart. When you give it away, also, you experience the power of this word. There was a woman in the Bible that was caught in sin. And they brought her to Jesus for Him basically to stone her. They asked the question. They said, the law says that one caught in adultery, you could stone her. And technically, the law did say that. And Jesus didn't condemn her. One of the reasons that He could do that was that He was already on His way to the cross to pay for her sins for her. He took the punishment. But there she was brought with these people, these accusers, accusing her and condemning her. And Jesus basically looks at her and says, be free. He says, I don't condemn you. Go. And then He says, and sin no more. And Jesus in that moment teaches us what this thing looks like, what unconditional love looks like, and what it looks like to forgive. We see another scene where this woman walks in then, and she begins to worship Jesus, and she begins to take oil and begins to anoint Him, and this fragrance fills the room, and she begins to cry and to weep, and the disciples are saying, why is this unnecessary display of emotion? I don't get this. What a waste to take this expensive fragrance and spill it. And Jesus was helping them see what real forgiveness and real unconditional love looked like and what blessings come from that. Luke chapter 7, He says this about her. He says, therefore I tell you, her sins have been forgiven. Her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. I don't know about you, but I've been forgiven much. And He's worthy of great worship and great love and great adoration. She experienced forgiveness and she was overwhelmed. Forgiveness expands our capacity to love. Forgiveness purifies our hearts. And the Bible says that the pure in heart will see God. Let me give you this. Write this down. And that is that Jesus did not come to earth just to die. He came to earth to teach us how to live. He didn't come just to die. He came to teach us how to live. And Jesus knew that there's going to be people that's going to let you down. There's people that are going to disappoint you. There's going to be people that's going to betray you. But Jesus demonstrated with His unconditional love. In fact, when He knelt down and washed the feet of the disciples, it was premeditated forgiveness. Because He knew what they were going to do. But He already was set on loving them. He was already set on forgiving them. Can I tell you, we need a preset on forgiveness. We need a preset on love. And Jesus is showing us by His example how to do that. Now, we can't do that in and of ourselves. The only way that we can demonstrate that kind of love, the only way that we can follow His example in that and really be able to forgive people, because I know it's hard. It's hard. And we don't have the capacity. But when we receive the forgiveness of Jesus and He forgives us of much, it allows us, come on, it allows us to then extend that forgiveness to others. And can I tell you something? You'll never have to forgive more than what Jesus has already forgiven you. Amen? That's powerful. That's powerful. That's powerful. The most consistent part of my life is His forgiveness. because I need it every day. And can I just tell you, you can experience this forgiveness today in your life. Maybe it's that you may be that you're bound up in some area because of this thing of unforgiveness. But it begins with the fact that maybe you haven't received forgiveness yourself. Sometimes we haven't forgiven ourselves of our own mistakes, of our own failures. And we live in this place of depression and discouragement and defeatism. We beat ourselves up every day. Let me tell you something. Jesus never came to beat you up. He came to forgive you. He came to love you. That scripture, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life," it goes on to say, God didn't come. He did not send His Son to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He never came to condemn you. Now, He does bring something wonderful. It's called conviction. It's called conviction. Conviction's a wonderful thing. I always pray, God, never let me get to the place where I can't be convicted. You know, it's like an unteachable place. It's that hardened place where I can't feel anything. Oh, God, let me... Oh, the power of the Holy Spirit who comes to convict. It's so wonderful because it lets me know, oh, my goodness, I'm going in the wrong way. It lets me know I'm not where I need to be. It lets me know I'm a sinner. And by the way, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Guess what? You're in a church full of sinners. I know. You say, well, no, I'm not a sinner. Well, I know we're saved by His grace, but of ourselves, without Him, we are. So welcome to the club. We're all in this thing together. But Jesus came. Look, and His Holy Spirit comes to us to illuminate, hey, you're going in the wrong way. Condemnation says you're going the wrong way and there's no way out. That's condemnation. Jesus says you're going the wrong way. But here's the way out. Right? That's the difference. That's the difference. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, thank You for Your word today. Jesus, thank You for Your powerful words that You spoke to us and leading us by example. Holy Spirit, thank You for Your conviction, that drawing us to You where we can discover life when we do it Your way and follow Your example. Today, God, help our hearts to be open, receptive, and be able to have You to come in and change us forever in this moment. We don't have to wait for weeks and months and days later to figure this out. We'll never figure it out. God, what we simply need to do is submit, is surrender, is to allow You to come in with Your unconditional love and heal us. And this can happen in a moment, this very moment today. So Lord, help us to hear what You're speaking to us and help us to respond by just saying yes. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me just say, you can experience the forgiveness of God today. But I believe that what God wants you to do is simply ask for it. It's available. God just needs you to ask. Right? Just to ask. Everybody, the Bible says, everybody that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He just wants you to open the door because He's not going to barge it down. He's not going to knock the door down. He needs you to open the door and say, you can come in, Lord. So if that's you today and say, I'm in a place where I need Him to come into my house, bring me peace, bring me healing, set my life on the right course. I want to lead you in a prayer today. If you're watching online, if you're in this room today, I want to lead you in a prayer. But if that's you and you maybe you've never done this, or maybe you have, but you're not where you need to be today, and you're coming back to Him. And you're saying, I'm recommitting myself to You, Lord. I want to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up or embarrass you or come to the front, but right where you're seated, where heads are bowed, this is a private moment. This is between you and God. But I want to know who I'm praying with and who I'm agreeing with, and just to say, God, that's me. I want you just to lift up your hand. Where heads are bowed, eyes closed, just lift up your hand and say, that's me. When you pray that prayer, Pastor, would you count me in? Be bold and be courageous right now. Just make up your mind. If that's you, come on, just hold up your hand right now. Amen. Just lift up your hand. Yes. Yes. Good job. Good job. Good job. All right. Hands down. I want you to pray this prayer with me. And I'd invite everybody to pray this out loud, just for those that need to pray it, so they can have privacy. Can you just pray this with me? Come on, let me just lead you in this. Just pray something nice. I'm just going to help you with the words. All you've got to do is mean it. If you're watching online, join us. Pray this. Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me, for giving your life so I could have life. Forgive me for going my way. I accept you now. I want to follow you. I invite you to come in my heart. Make me brand new on the inside. Thank you for paying the price so I don't have to. Thank you for setting me free by dying for my sins. Forgive me, Lord. Now, today, by faith, I accept your forgiveness. I accept you into my heart. Thank you for loving me and forgiving me. With all my heart, I'll follow you, Lord, as you help me, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer and needed to pray it, here in this building or watching online. God, I just pray for them today. Help them now, Lord, to follow you. One day, one step at a time. Thank you that you are their best friend. You're walking with them step by step, day by day. Lord, you're the best friend. You're the friend that sticks closer than a brother. You're a God who doesn't just point the way, but you lead the way. So we're following you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that life today. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Let's celebrate changed lives today. Come on, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. That is so awesome. That's so awesome. That's why we exist. People come to know Christ. Amen, everybody. Amen. If you just give me your attention for just a moment, here's what we're going to do. In a moment, we're going to sing as we conclude the service. But as we do, I want you to know that prayer is available around the front here. Most importantly today, I want you, if you made a decision today, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to take that connection card, and there's a place on there where it says, my decision today. If you'll indicate that, and in a moment we're going to receive an offering, you put this in the offering bag, we'd love to send you a letter helping you with some of your next steps. Now, no one's going to call you. We're just going to simply send you a letter. We just feel it's important. It's our responsibility to kind of share with you what we believe some of your next steps will be. We'd love to help and guide you through that. It's your choice to take those steps. We just want to share that with you. And also, if you're new here today, we'd love to receive this card from you and simply want to send you a letter again thanking you for coming and being with us today. As you're doing that, getting that ready, and we're going to worship with our giving today. Our ushers are coming. And as you're preparing, those of you that call this place home, as you're preparing to give your tithes and your offerings today, I want to pray a blessing over that. Let me just point something out. First of all, also let me just say, if you're new here today, don't feel obligated to give, okay? We want everything for you, nothing from you. This is for those that call this place Cross Point Home, okay? So no pressure there. I want to just say today that step three of our growth track is happening at right after service. It'll be over here on my left. You can jump on the track today. It's just a track, a four-part thing. You heard about it in our news, and that's going to happen today. A meal will be in that part of that. Child care is available during that time. It lasts for 1 hour. This is my favorite part, step three. I don't get to lead this one, but I love it. It's great. We talk about gift assessments and all that kind of, it's just awesome. It's so much fun. We'd love to have you with us. You do not have to start at step one. You can actually start today. If you want to connect today, you can do that today. We'd love to have you with us today. You, as we give and worship in our giving today, we give this way. You can also give online at crosspointworshipcenter.com. Many of you give that way. Some of you are already given even before Sunday rolls around. So I just want us to pray over our time of giving and worshiping the Lord. Would you stand with me today as we just express to God in a tangible way our love to Him and that He's first in every area of our life. God, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done in lives and changing lives forever. Thank you for the seeds that have been sown that's going to bring forth a great, great life, oh God, in Jesus. Lord, thank you for this opportunity we have to invest in those things that matter, eternal things, God, in changing lives. Lord, I pray your blessings upon this time of worship. Lord, I pray you open windows of heaven and pours out blessings. I have room enough to receive for all accomplished, God. We give you all the honor, all the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen.